When the new chair of the Child Abuse Inquiry, Professor Alexis Jay, appears before MPs tomorrow, it's thought that she will confirm plans to scale it back. In recent months, apart from losing its third chair, it's also seen the resignation of its lead counsel, Ben Emerson QC. Until last year, Sharon Evans was a member of the inquiry's panel. She came to it as a survivor of abuse herself and as the chief executive of the children's charity .com. I asked her what she thought should happen next.
I don't think that the inquiry should be scaled down. Promises were made by the Home Secretary that to survivors and to victims, and those promises should be honoured, as should the independence and the openness of this inquiry.
Why did you leave?
I didn't leave. I was made to leave. Everybody on the panel was basically sacked by the Home Office. Even though we were told that we were there to stay, we were promised by the Home Secretary that we were in place, and no matter what happened with the search for the correct chair, that we were the panel, that we would be working in good faith. And I promised that if at any point I felt that this was not an independent inquiry and it was being controlled by the Home Office, that I would speak out. When I raised those concerns with Ben Emerson and with the Secretariat, it didn't go down very well. And the next thing, we were being told that the Home Secretary was considering scrapping the panel because she'd been listening to survivors, even though she had never met with myself or Graham Wilmer to ask our advice or our opinions, even though we'd been appointed for that very role.
There's a whole series of very serious points in what you have said there. Why were you so convinced that it was being controlled by the Home Office?
When I became concerned about Ben Emerson's behaviour, he was supposed to be an advisor to the panel. Very early on, he took control of the panel because at the beginning, of course, we were all new to the role, and he suggested that he chair the inquiry because we didn't have a chair. So, of course, we all accepted that. But as time went on, I was also asked to chair certain meetings, and it became clear that he did not like that. He did not like the panel members making suggestions and starting to get stronger and starting to ask questions.
But he was the lead counsel of the inquiry. He was a QC. He was the person with knowledge of the law. He wasn't in a position of leadership, was he not?
He was supposed to be the QC, the person that we would go to for advice on the law, but that was not the role that he assumed. From day one, he chaired those meetings. And it was only as we started to go along that it was suggested that sometimes I should chair the meetings, but he didn't like that. And there were times, like, for example, when we were asked to appear before the Home Affairs Select Committee, where he dictated to the panel who would actually go and face the Home Affairs Select Committee. And when I mentioned to him that he was an advisor and surely that the panel should suggest and should nominate the people that would go forward and represent them, he looked at me and said, "This is not okay. Open for discussion. That's an end to it."
You've made accusations about his role and what he said and did before you appeared in front of the Home Affairs Select Committee. He has said that the information or the instructions that you were given were to make sure that nothing that you disclosed would be a breach of the terms of your appointment.
Everybody who is on that panel and continues to be on that panel and involved with the inquiry has been made to sign a Home Office contract, which gives them complete control of every single person, and which I have been threatened with legal action if I speak up. And I'm speaking up today because I really believe that this is in the public interest. The contracts that we were given, as Keith Vaz said at the Home Affairs Select Committee, should relate to matters to do with evidence given to the inquiry, not the procedural issues around it. And right,
But the fact that you have a contract from the Home Office, that is because the government is paying for this. I mean, that who else should those contracts be from?
I think this inquiry should be independent. It says it's an independent inquiry.
Yes, but someone has to pay for it and pay for your time and the time of others who are involved.
Of course they do. But why then, if the Home Office is paying for it, and if the Home Office is controlling it, why are they not honest about the fact they're controlling it? Why did they ask me and other panel members to go out and tell the public that the Home Office is not controlling this? The Home Office has sacked every single person that hasn't done what they wanted them to do.
So what should happen now then to the inquiry?
It is really, really important, and I want to make this point, that this inquiry continues. A lot of people have put themselves through a great deal of pain to give evidence to this inquiry, to the Truth Project, and this must not be derailed. However, there does need to be, I think, and basically the Home Affairs Select Committee should be the people that you go to discuss the what is going on with the inquiry. Because when I made a complaint to the Home Office about the behaviour, and if anybody since me has made a complaint about the behaviour of senior people in this inquiry, the only place you can go to is the Home Office, who investigate it internally. How can that be independent?
Sharon Evans, thank you very much. Well, we're joined now by Chris Tuck, who's also an abuse survivor, and she's on the Victims and Survivors Consultative Panel, though speaking in a personal capacity. Good morning.
Hi, Michelle.
How does Sharon Evans' experience compare to yours?
I obviously can't comment on Sharon's experience because I wasn't there, but my experience has been completely different. I have found the people that I've worked with on the panel to be, they listen, they don't judge, and they take on board all the comments that that we make, and they take on board everything that we say and incorporate it into the work that they do on a day-to-day basis.
So, and the point that she made about the level of control from the Home Office, you know, Sharon Evans is clearly worried that the Home Office is so involved in this that the inquiry can't really be seen to be independent.
As far as I'm aware, the inquiry is completely independent. And again, I can't comment on Sharon's views because they're her views. But from where I'm sitting, I say what I think and they don't judge me on that, and they take on board what I do say. And you can see that what you do say is incorporated into the work that we do.
How would you feel if it does end up being scaled back, if that is what we hear this week?
I honestly don't believe it will be scaled back. Both the PM, the Home Sec and the panel have assured us in statements that they've all made in recent weeks that the terms of reference will not be scaled back, because this is not in the interest of victims and survivors who fought hard for this inquiry to come about in the first place.
Has Alexis J said that?
She said that in a statement, or in a statement which is on the website, and said it to us, yes.
And you think that the scale of it at the moment is workable, is deliverable, despite the sheer number of institutions that it's tasked with looking into over an indefinite period of time?
Obviously, I've never run. I'm not an expert in running inquiries, and this inquiry is of a magnitude that no one's ever seen before. There's no blueprint out there to run inquiry of this nature, scale or scope. There's going to be challenges, as we've seen there has been challenges, but no one's ever run an inquiry like this. But it's up to this inquiry to hear victims and survivors from the past, the present, and to protect children in the future. So we owe it to all the victims and survivors out there, including myself, to investigate and understand the scale and scope of the nature of child abuse within England and Wales in order to make very robust recommendations for the future so that we can safeguard our children. And that's what this inquiry is about. And I think personally that many people out there have forgotten this.
And does it feel different now with Alexis J in charge? Does it have a different sense of its purpose, a different feeling about delivering its objectives?
With the panel headed up by the chair, Alexis J, it does seem completely different to what it was in the past. And, you know, I've had no issues of working with Ben or Judge Goddard in the past. I personally got on with both of them. That is my experience. But there is a definite shift in culture within the inquiry. Every single person that I've spoken to from all different departments within the inquiry are adamant that they, working as a team, are going to make this inquiry a success for all victims and survivors out there.
Chris Tuck, thank you very much for talking to us.